From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu.
30 degrees at the Lawrence Airport. It is 6:06.
For me, but can I trust you? Tell you how I'm feeling as I must do.
You are listening to All Things Considered.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can find not just streaming, not just KPR 1 and KPR 2, streamed all the time. You can see photographs. You can read news stories. You want an overview of the day's news? We have that there. Would you, by chance, like to make a donation? It is Giving Tuesday. Would you like to include us in your charitable giving this year? Well, you can do that. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org, point, click, super obvious where to do that. We appreciate you making a donation. We even appreciate you just thinking about making the donation. Again, the web address, kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Stick around. News headlines coming up at 6:30. At 6:36, we'll get an update on what we know and what still remains yet to be seen in the Tennessee 07 election, special election down in Tennessee, 7th Congressional District, much closer than anybody thought it would be. Usually a safe seat for Republicans, but there is a Democrat who's mounting a big challenge. Polls close there in about 40 minutes. We'll tell you what we know coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary.
The time is 6:20.
Quieter life and lived on a farm in Scotland.
My lovely wife, Linda, we would sing around the house, and I always remember thinking, wow, she's really got something.
So they formed a band called Wings. Paul McCartney reflects on its beginnings tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us first thing tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. National, international, regional news, Sir James Paul McCartney. What more can you ask for out of a morning program, I ask you? Thanks so much for tuning in. Get you an update of news headlines in just about 45 seconds. Once again, want to shout out Sean Harding and his crew and actually everyone from KU Facilities and Operations. You guys have done a fantastic job. You do a fantastic job every day, but particularly in the last 48 hours. Thank you so much. The time is 6:30.
Stop deep cuts in guest worker wages. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A New Jersey-based company has withdrawn plans for an industrial waste plant in a low-income Kansas City, Kansas neighborhood. As Dylan Lyson reports, that comes after residents raised safety and pollution concerns.
The company ReWorld says it withdrew plans for the Armourdale neighborhood because of, quote, changing business circumstances. The withdrawal comes after residents demanded more transparency. The facility would have taken in more than 1,000 trucks of industrial waste each weekday and would have been located near homes and an elementary school. City officials repeatedly delayed approving permits for the plan and asked the company to hold public forums. Residents say the company failed to do so. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
A federal law change could hamper the budding hemp industry in Kansas, which has grown to be one of the largest in the nation. The law lowers the amount of THC allowed in hemp. THC is the psychoactive compound in cannabis. That change is meant to close a loophole that allowed stores to sell hemp-derived THC products that can get users high, similar to marijuana. But Kelly Ripple, a hemp advocate, says the change is so restrictive that it would affect Kansas farmers. They mostly produce non-consumable hemp products, like fiber.
And only certain producers or processors would be able to meet that, and those would include pharmaceutical and researchers.
Federal data shows Kansas planted the fifth most hemp in the country in 2025. The law change is set to go into effect in November of 2026. Kansas prisons are expected to reach their inmate capacity limits within the next 2 to 3 years. The Kansas Sentencing Commission projects the state's incarcerated population each year and says the state is expected to reach its capacity of nearly 11,000 inmates as early as 2028. Scott Schultz with the commission says the population is increasing as inmates are spending more time in prison because of stiffer sentences.
We have those admissions folks that are staying longer every year. And so there's a stacking effect that actually occurs.
Schultz says the state may need to add about 1,300 beds over the next 10 years. That would likely require the construction of a new prison. You're listening to KPR.
Support for NPR comes from this...
Daryl Brogdon here, host of the Retro Cocktail Hour. Giving Tuesday is about community, and you're at the heart of ours. KPR is here every day with local coverage of state government, economic issues, weather, and more. But with federal funding gone, we depend entirely on listeners like you. Your monthly gift keeps this essential service thriving for everyone in our region. Join your neighbors and make a gift today at kansaspublicradio.org. And your gift will be matched by the Harrison Family Fund.
And thank you so much for doing that on this Giving Tuesday. Delighted to have you as a listener to KPR. From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, lots of other frequencies too, and we're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lecompton Historical Society's Christmas Through the Ages. Over 200 Christmas trees with vintage and antique ornaments at the Territorial Capital Museum now till January 4th. Details at lecomptonkansas.com.
Stay tuned. We do have a bit more All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next we have Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
30 degrees at the Lawrence Airport, 36 in Emporia, 36 in Manhattan. It is 10 minutes before 7.
That was NBC's Today Show. Be sure to come back and listen to our show tomorrow and find out the fate of your favorite fettuccine. Just turn on your radio or get your device to play your local station.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive Insurance. Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. From Fisher Investments, as a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' best interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From Focus Features, presenting Hamnet, a story of love and loss that inspired the creation of Shakespeare's Hamlet. Directed by Chloe Zhao, now playing in select theaters everywhere December 5th. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
After the Beatles broke up, Paul McCartney formed a band with his wife Linda. McCartney reflects on the beginning of Wings. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. is the time. Morning Edition is the show. Matthew Algio will have your KPR local news as part of that. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting Holiday Magic, a Baroque by Candlelight concert featuring Vivaldi and Piazzolla. Tuesday evening, December 2nd, Country Club Christian Church. Tickets at kcchamber.org.
Every time you listen to KPR, you hear something you love, whether it's a timeless performance or the latest headlines. KPR has become part of our cultural identity in this region and yours as a music or news fan. But the federal funding is gone, completely gone. It makes listener support the only way this programming can stay free and accessible to everyone. You can start a monthly gift now at kansaspublicradio.org. And if you do that, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by the Harrison Family Fund of the Douglas County Community Foundation, securing KPR's place in this community's future. We hope you'll do that. Thank you. Have a good night. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is defending the decision to strike an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean Sea for a second time, saying the fog of war influenced the call and he did not see that there were survivors in the water. Hegseth says he didn't make the call for the subsequent boat strikes, pinning it on Admiral Frank Bradley.
I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made the, which he had the complete authority to do, and by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat.
Lawmakers have opened investigations into precisely what Hegseth ordered in his capacity as the Pentagon chief. The Trump administration says the strikes are part of a counter-drug campaign that have left more than 80 dead in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific. President Trump says he'll be announcing his choice for a new Federal Reserve chair early next year. As NPR's Franco Ordonez reports, Trump says he's narrowed it down to one top candidate.
President Trump told reporters at a cabinet meeting that his team has considered a number of candidates to replace the current Fed chair, Jerome Powell, who steps down next year. Trump said some of those were brought forward by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and others brought forward by Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
We probably looked at 10 and we have it down to one.
Trump says the pick won't be Bessent, though, but many market observers expect Trump to pick Kevin Hassett, the National Economic Council director. Trump has sought a more loyal chair after months of complaining about Powell. Hassett himself has played down suggestions that he's the leading candidate, but has said he'd be happy to serve. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
The State Department is finalizing the layoffs that were announced earlier this year as part of Secretary of State Marco Rubio's reorganization. The Americans Foreign Service Association is fighting the move, though, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
The American Foreign Service Association says it is appalled that the State Department decided to finalize the separation of Foreign Service members this Friday. It says the move, quote, flies in the face of the current funding law, which prohibits layoffs while the government is operating on a continuing resolution. The State Department argues that it has the right to do this because the reduction in force started well before the government shutdown. Officials cite legal opinions by the OMB's general counsel. The union is pursuing legal action, saying the State Department has repeatedly taken steps that have demoralized the workforce and calls this a new low. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The U.S. stock market held steadier today as bond yields and Bitcoin stabilized. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the School Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at school.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
start date December 2nd. Scientists have been searching for dark matter for decades. They haven't found it. Every experiment they've devised has come up empty. But they haven't given up. Among other ideas, they're thinking about ways to use moons, planets, and stars as detectors. Dark matter appears to make up about 85% of all the matter in the universe. We know it's there because its gravity pulls on the visible stars and galaxies around it. Dark matter may consist of a type of particle that almost never interacts with normal matter, but it should interact just enough to reveal its nature. Experiments here on Earth haven't seen any such interactions, so some scientists recommend using astronomical objects instead of lab experiments. Blobs of dark matter might enfold a binary star system. The dark matter's gravity could pull the two stars away from each other, and dark matter might clump together to make a special kind of star. Both of those might be detectable with current telescopes. Smaller blobs might slam into an icy moon, creating a special kind of crater. Such craters could be visible on Ganymede, the largest moon of Jupiter. Two missions on their way to Jupiter might be able to see them. And dark matter might fall into the center of a planet and hang around. If enough builds up, it could heat the planet's interior. So by studying many planets in other star systems, we might see some that are unusually warm, heated up by encounters with dark matter. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Irving Berlin's White Christmas, showing December 5th through December 21st. More details at theaterlawrence.com. Yours truly is getting into the Christmas spirit here on KPR. The Canadian Brass rocking out on Jingle Bells. Hi there, I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me this Tuesday evening. I love all of you, our dear listeners, and our supporters. I have a really special shout-out that I'm going to give here at the top of the show. Support for music programming on KPR comes from Jackie Lambert of Manhattan, Kansas. Jackie, thank you for supporting your public radio station, and happy birthday from everyone at Kansas Public Radio. If only I could sing, I would sing you happy birthday, but alas, I can't. I will let the radio do the singing. And the piano. Some gorgeous impromptus coming up in about 10 minutes, but I thought I would, well, get a little, wild with the mandolin. So, I actually play the violin. your dear old host Destiny here, and the mandolin has the same strings, just double, so it's quite a unique sound, and I love Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Mandolins. We've got Trevor Pinnock conducting the English concert. I hope you like it. It's about 10 minutes right now on KPR.
Thank you. mandolins are sort of in the Christmas spirit, very jingle belly in a way, I think, here on KPR, Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Mandolins, featuring Trevor Pinnock conducting the English concert. Speaking of bells, Dvorak wrote something about bells. He did. We get to listen to that together at 7:45. That's the tease. Can't wait for it. Also can't wait to eat. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Maselli's Preparing Heat and Eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner items for drive-through pickup Wednesday afternoons. Gluten-free, vegetarian, and dairy-free options available. New menus weekly and online ordering at Maselli's.com. And this month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, offering prevention services, including truancy prevention programming and case management to help families remain safely together. Details at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org. All right, I've got Schubert impromptus right now with the great Alfred Brendel on the piano. Some gorgeous piano music for you right now on KPR. Schubert's Impromptus here on KPR, Alfred Brendel at the piano. Love it. Love it indeed. And I love Christmas and bells. Dvorak is going to treat us to some bells here in just a second. But speaking of Christmas, first, I must remind you, Saturday night, December 13th, it's KPR's annual Big Band Christmas at Liberty Hall. The Kansas City Jazz Orchestra will serve up Yuletide songs and some classic Casey jazz. Big Band Christmas is always a hot ticket, and they're on sale now at Liberty Hall and Ticketmaster, and they sell out quick. Get the scoop at kansaspublicradio.org. All right, what is this bells I keep referring to? Dvorak, his Songs of Nature. One of the movements is called Bells. We've got Melodies, Bells, Sunlight, and Birch. And something local, the Lawrence Civic Choir with Steve Eubank conducting here on KPR. Steve Eubank and the local Lawrence Civic Choir here on Kansas Public Radio. Dvorak's Songs of Nature, Melodies, Bells, Sunlight, and Birch. We are kicking off next hour with some fun dances. Danzas de Panama. If you've never heard that before, it is really, really fun. And then a Brahms symphony that premiered on this day. It's going to be epic, I promise. I'm Destiny. Thank you for being here with me this hour. NPR News is up next, and then more music for you. And I'm also taking requests for my Saturday show. That's right. It's from 1 to 4. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest. You can fill out a form and let me know what you'd like to hear. See you soon on KPR.
Okay, I might be a little biased, but the holidays are just better with Morning Edition. From hearing about how families celebrate across town.
You come in there, you wash your hands, you roll up your sleeves, you work together.
To learning about fun traditions around the country.
It's like an army of toys in the streets downtown.
Get in the holiday spirit with us and stay up to date on the news. Weekdays with Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on Kansas Public Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansans and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. And Theater Lawrence, presenting Irving Berlin's White Christmas, showing December 5th through December 21st. More details at theaterlawrence.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says he closely followed the first U.S. military strike against a suspected drug smuggling boat in the Caribbean 3 months ago, but he says he did not order a follow-up attack that killed survivors. NPR's Greg Myrie has more.
Defense Secretary Hegseth described his actions during the first U.S. attack in the Caribbean on September 2nd.
I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around, so I moved on to my next meeting.
9 people were killed initially, but 2 people survived. A second U.S. strike killed them, but Hegseth said he only learned hours later that this follow-up strike took place. He said the commander of the operation made the correct decision to, quote, sink the boat and eliminate the threat. But critics have raised the possibility the attack could be a violation of U.S. law or the laws of war. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
Congress is a step closer to attempting to alter a key set of numbers from the 2030 census. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports those numbers influence how presidents and members of Congress are elected.
How many U.S. House seats and Electoral College votes each state gets for a decade is determined using a census count. The 14th Amendment requires that count to include the, quote, whole number of persons in each state. But the Republican-controlled House Oversight Committee has advanced a bill that calls for excluding people living in the states without U.S. citizenship, such as green card holders. During the last Congress, a similar bill passed the Republican-controlled House but never got a Senate vote. The current bill is making its way to a possible House floor vote months after President Trump put out a social media call for a, quote, new census that excludes people living in the states without legal status. That kind of change would be unprecedented in U.S. history and likely be challenged in court. Hansi Luong, NPR News, Washington.
OpenAI Chief Executive Sam Altman issued a code red to employees this week over Google's growing artificial intelligence capabilities. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, Google's latest version of its Gemini AI chatbot exceeded expectations.
In a memo sent to OpenAI staff confirmed by NPR, Altman said the company needs to hyper-focus on improving ChatGPT. And as a result, Altman told employees it is pushing back work on other products like AI agents for health and shopping and pausing a push into advertising. It comes as Google's latest Gemini chatbot beat out all the rival AI chatbots in a series of industry benchmark tests. It, for the first time, pulled Google ahead of the competition in the AI race. While ChatGPT remains the most popular chatbot, the company is confronting questions about its finances. And that's because Altman said the company is not turning a profit and isn't expecting to until 2030. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Sacramento's city council voted unanimously to repeal a 76-year-old law banning the sale of comic books to minors. The ordinance passed during a panic about comic books inspiring delinquency. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. Danzas de Panama here on KPR by William Grant Still. Some fun music to open this 8 p.m. hour. That was Isaiah Jackson conducting the Berlin Symphony Orchestra. Not necessarily in any kind of Christmas spirit, but you know, I bet a vacation to Panama would be nice right about now. I do have a lovely Christmas treat at the end of the hour, never fear. Speaking of the holidays, well, by the way, I'm Destiny. Did I tell you that yet? My name really is Destiny. I'm a real person. And many of us, like me, spent the last few days chasing holiday deals online, in the stores. Well, today is Giving Tuesday, a time to focus on community. KPR brings you the beauty and depth of classical music every day, but here's the reality. Federal funding is gone forever. Grr. That means this service depends almost entirely on listeners like you, and you can help. Your gift keeps classical music alive. So join your neighbors who believe this music matters. Start your monthly gift of $15 now at kansaspublicradio.org, and when you do, you can claim a custom KPR ornament. That's awesome. What else is awesome? On this day, many moons ago in 1883, the Vienna Philharmonic premiered Brahms' his Third Symphony. We are going to listen to that recording right now, not of that specific time, but a newer one, Scottish Chamber Orchestra with Sir Charles Mackerras. Enjoy on KPR.
Thank you.
I dedicate this to all of those poor students who had to learn the opening of Brahms Symphony No. 3 here on KPR, Sir Charles Mackerras and Scottish Chamber Orchestra. It's great music, but it's really hard to play, and violinists had to use that to audition for districts, and then again, Allstate coming up. Good luck, everyone. It's great music, but like I said, hard to play. I also play the violin, so I remember many, many a night practicing that. This is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia, and support for classical music on KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation info at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. And now something calm, shall I say, for our evening on our way out the door. This is the traditional Still, Still, Still with Octarium on KPR.
Oh.
Octarium singing Still, Still, Still here on KPR. I'm Destiny. Thank you for being here with me this evening. I hope you all have a great rest of your night. NPR News is up next and then Jazz in the Night. See you tomorrow on KPR.
You want to know what's going on in the world, not just the politics and breaking news, but the music, the art, the culture. Morning Edition from NPR News is here for all of it.
That is Miley Cyrus keeping the world on its toes. The new album.
That's Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They are in a new production.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, thanks for the time and congratulations on tenure.
Start your weekday mornings with us and catch conversations you might not expect.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on Kansas Public Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Republican Matt Van Epps has won a special election for a congressional district in Tennessee, according to a race call from the Associated Press. He defeated Democrat Afton Bain by about 9 percentage points, with about 95% of the vote in to fill the seat vacated by Republican Congressman Mark Green. President Trump won the district with about 60% of the vote last year. Peace talks between the U.S. and Russia have wrapped up for the day in Moscow without a breakthrough, though Russia's lead negotiator did call the meetings constructive. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports from Kyiv that Ukrainians are not surprised.
Ukrainians say Russian President Vladimir Putin does not want peace. He continues to bomb their cities nearly nightly and believes he's winning in the east, even though Russia lost 25,000 soldiers during the month of October alone.
Putin cannot stop.
That's Ukrainian military analyst Mykhailo Samus. He says Putin has been trying to destroy Ukraine since 2014.
These operations in Crimea and still he didn't destroy Ukraine, so he's angry and he will continue.
Samus says Ukrainians cannot give in to Putin and will never agree to give up territory. He says the most Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky can sign for is a ceasefire because there will be no real peace as long as Putin exists. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Kyiv.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth cited the fog of war in defending the decision to strike an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean Sea for a second time, saying he did not see that there were survivors. During a cabinet meeting at the White House, Hegseth said, quote, the thing was on fire and that he didn't stick around after the first strike. He says the admiral in charge of the mission had made the right call in ordering it. A UN committee says abuse and torture of Palestinians in Israeli prisons gravely intensified after the Hamas-led attack on Israel and the start of Gaza's war. NPR's Aya Batrari reports the committee called on Israel to establish an independent commission and prosecute those responsible, including senior officers.
Palestinians released from Israeli prisons since the start of Gaza's war have borne signs of abuse. They've described rape in military detention, severe beatings, prolonged starvation, and attacks by trained dogs. Palestinian authorities say 81 prisoners have died in Israeli jails since late 2023. The UN Committee Against Torture says reports indicate a, quote, de facto state policy in Israel of organized and widespread torture. Israel did not respond to requests for comment on the report. The committee says Israel does not have a distinct offense criminalizing torture, with legislation actually allowing some exemptions as, quote, a necessity of defense. Aya Batrawi, NPR News.
The Northeast is seeing its first major winter snowstorm of the year. Some parts of northern New England are expecting up to 10 inches of snow. Many school and government offices offices have closed in the region. This is NPR News from Washington. Pop singer Sabrina Carpenter and the publisher of the Franklin the Turtle children's book series are disavowing the Trump administration's use of their work. Carpenter's song Juno was used in a video montage depicting ICE raids. She tweeted that the video is evil and disgusting and asked not to involve her music in such agendas. Publisher Kids Can Press condemned a post by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth showing Franklin the Turtle holding a bazooka. Wildfires in the western U.S. have changed in recent decades because of human-caused climate change. That's the finding from a new study out today, and as NPR's Alejandra Barunda reports, the smoke from those more dangerous fires is hurting people's health.
Wildfires aren't new in the West. In fact, many western habitats evolved with frequent burns, and for thousands of years, native people managed many western landscapes with fire. But fires in the West are getting bigger, smokier, and more destructive. And at least part of that change is because of human-caused climate change, according to a new study in the journal PNAS. Since 1997, climate change played the primary role in increasing smokiness, especially in the Sierras and the Cascades. And that smoke hurts people's health. During and after fires, hospitals see increases in visits for respiratory problems like asthma and COPD, and scientists are increasingly concerned about long-term health effects, too. Alejandra Barunda, NPR News.
A beloved albino alligator named Claude at the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco has died at age 30. The museum plans a public memorial, and people can share memories via email or post. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org.
Sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was you held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own. I did not know what year it was, life was no prize. I wanted love and there it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise. your voice, feel your touch, say I'm on your own. I did not know what year it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love and many words shining out of your eyes. I'm wise and I know what time. Didn't know what time it was then I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was, how sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was you held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, hear your voice, feel your touch, say I'm all your own. I didn't know what year it was, life was no prize. I wanted love and there it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise and I know what time it is now.
Cecile McLaurin-Salvant from her 2013 album Woman Child. And what a great version of I Didn't Know What Time It Was. Well, it's just after 9 o'clock. It's time for Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio. Cecile was joined there by Aaron Deal at the piano, Rodney Whitaker on bass, and Herlin Riley as the drummer. In just a bit, we'll hear from trumpeter Jeremy Pelt. He has a brand new five-song outing for the holiday season. We've also got the pairing of tenor saxophonist Eric Alexander and also saxophonist Vincent Herring, and the Duke Jordan Trio later on out of the vinyl vault with the pianist Duke Jordan. But right now, it's vibraphonist Mark Sherman, our jazz album of the week. Let's hear the title track to it, Bop Contest on KPR. Thank you.